up into 22 eight-verse stanzas. Each stanza starts with a letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Okay? And so we'll talk about that. It's a mnemonic to study the Word. Because Psalm 119 talks about the ministry of God's Word. We can't find Christ without the Word of God. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the work of God. We can't understand truth unless we read God's Word and the Holy Spirit illuminates us. We need to hold God's Word precious and holy and lift it up and live it and meditate on it and do what it says. Do what it says. So tonight we're going to look at the first eight verses. And the title of the sermon tonight is The Blessings of Obedience. The blessings of obedience. God wants to bless us. He wants to give us joy, unspeakable and full of glory. He wants to give us life abundant. He doesn't have any desire to squish us like a bug. He wants us to live a full, vibrant life in fellowship with Him. That's how He made Adam and Eve in the first place. And man's messed that up. And God has, through His Son, Jesus Christ, made a way to restore that relationship. You know, the first verse of the book of Psalms starts out with blessed. Christ, in His Sermon on the Mount, the first sermon recorded in the Gospels, starts out with blessed is He. God wants us to be blessed. But there is conditions. There are conditions for this. Fellowship with God is enjoyed, and that didn't work right, okay? Is enjoyed by a love for God's Word, period, okay? For a joy for, fellowship with God is enjoyed by a love for God's Word. I don't know why it's wrong there, okay? It's right on my page, but it doesn't matter, okay? Never mind. Never mind. Just the story of my life. Okay? Uh-oh. This could be bad. Okay? But in Psalm 119, verses 1 through 8, blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep His testimonies and that seek Him with the whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep Thy statutes. Then shall I not be ashamed when I have respect unto all Thy commandments. I will praise Thee with uprightness of heart when I shall have learned Thy righteous judgments. I will keep Thy statutes, O forsake me not utterly. If you look in your Bible, you see a word, Aleph, okay, which is the first letter in the Hebrew alphabet. Aleph means ox. When you think about an ox, here is an animal that is a service animal. He plows, but he's also used as a what? Sacrifice. Okay? He has a walk. He doesn't run. He has a walk with this. He is yoked. Think of all these verses come in your mind. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. So here we have an issue of walk. Our walk should be a sacrifice to God. So I have 3 points tonight about being blameless. Because the focus of this thing is to be blameless. First of all, in verses 1 through 3, we see it's the blameless of God are blessed. God gives mercy to all. But God blesses His obedient ones, the ones who are His children. We ask, there's people that just cry out to God. God doesn't hear those prayers. You say, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. We need to have a relationship. And Psalm 119 is talking about the psalmist who has a tight relationship with God. In verse 1, we see the consideration of the blameless. His consideration is what? Blessed. He is blessed. Psalm 32 verse 2 says this: Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, in whose spirit there is no guile. Folks, you can't be blessed unless you have a relationship with God. You cannot have a relationship with God unless you have Christ as your Savior. Because you don't have righteousness unless you have Christ. And you will not be blessed unless you have that righteousness in your life. So it says blessed. The condition, the consideration of the blameless is that they are blessed. The word actually means to be happy, happy. To be happy, happy. Not just to be happy, but to be overabundant with this. In Proverbs chapter 28, verse 14, the same word that's used for bless in verse 1 is used here. Happy is the man that what? Feareth alway. Now wait a second. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of what? Wisdom. A good understanding are those that keep His commandments. But look at this. Happy is the man that fears God. How? Always. Always. God wants us to walk a life in respect for Him. God wants us to walk a life that's pure in heart, meek in spirit, or poor in spirit, meek. All those things that we hear in the Beatitudes. He wants us to do that. Happy is the man that feareth always, but he that hardeneth his heart shall what? Fall into mischief. We make a choice. You keep your eyes on God. It doesn't matter if things are falling apart around you. You still look at God. Amen. And He's still there. And you can still be happy. And you can still have peace. Amen. All the little things are going around you. But it can't take your soul. And it can't take your salvation. And it can't take your joy unless you allow it to. So the consideration of the blameless is what? Blessed. They are blessed. Now, in verses 2 and 3, we see the characteristics of the blameless. There are 6 characteristics in this verse. Now, the challenge here is if you do a rudimentary study of this, it becomes somewhat repetitive. It's not going to be repetitive. There's truth after truth after truth. And as we dig into this, we're going to see these truths, and I want it to grow, okay? And we'll get to this in a minute. The first one is found in verse 2. In verse 1. Blessed are the undefiled. The undefiled. Okay, they are complete and sound in Christ. You know, how many times have you walked up or you've seen a tree and it looks great on the outside? It's got a great big trunk, but then a wind comes over and it just snaps in two. And when you look at it, like this tree out here that we had out here, we cut down, it was hollow inside. It wasn't sound anymore, it wasn't complete anymore. A lot of us live a superficial life. We look good on the outside, but like the Pharisees, you're like, why did the sepulchre full of old men, dead bones inside? See, what makes you sound is not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. And the issue is that we're supposed to be undefiled. This is not an issue of what we speak or what we think, but where we are. Where we are. Because if my heart is undefiled, my mouth will be undefiled. My mind will be undefiled. Because I will seek God to do that.
Right.
That's what it means about being sound. Okay? The word for undefiled here is also used in Genesis chapter 6, verse 9. Where it says, "These are the generations of Noah. Noah was a just man and perfect." The same word. "And perfect in his generations. And Noah walked with God." You cannot be complete and sound and not walk with God.
Right.
You must do it. You must do it. It has to be that way. It has to be that way. So, the first one is, blessed are the undefiled in the way. The second one is that they walk in the law of the Lord. The word for walk here is to walk forward or to make steady progress toward a goal. Think of what Paul said. He says, "I press toward the what? Mark." He talks about running a race and getting to the end. He says, "I have finished my course." He gets this. He should. He was a Pharisee. He knew this psalm. He knew this psalm. But what we need to understand is we have to be sound and complete on the inside. Then we need to have a steady progress towards God. There may be some plateaus, but you won't go back. Because if you go backwards, that's called backsliding. And in order to go backwards from God, you got to turn your back on Him. So if you're always focused on God and you're always looking to Him, you're going to make progress forward. Psalm 101 verse 6 says, "Mine eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, they may dwell with me." And here we go. "And he that walketh," same word, "in a" what? Perfect way. Same word for being complete and sound. Okay? Undefiled. Okay? "He shall serve me." Now, let's think about this. If I am blameless, I will walk with God. If I am walking with God, I will serve Him. Because I have His yoke on me, and I'm like an ox. I'm pulling my weight. I'm pulling my weight. So, the characteristics of the blameless, they are undefiled. They're complete and sound, okay? They walk, make steady progress in the law of the Lord. The third way, they keep His testimonies. Now, the issue is, for testimonies is the word that's used today for witness. Okay? Witness. What does a witness do? It reveals, in the spiritual sense, it reveals sin and it proves holiness. Okay? And these are the words of God. How does a witness testify? He gives words. Okay? Maps and everything else are evidence. But we give words. Okay? They keep His testimonies. Deuteronomy chapter 4 verse 45 says, "These are the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments which Moses spake unto the children of Israel after they came forth out of Egypt." Where did Moses get the testimonies and the statutes and the judgments? Got it from God. What did Moses do? He turned around and told the people the same stuff. What are we supposed to do, folks? We get the testimonies, the witness of God, and we're supposed to show it to other people. We're supposed to have a testimony too. And our testimony needs to lie with Christ's testimony. So the characteristics of the blameless, they are undefiled. They are complete and sound. They walk, they make steady progress in the law of the Lord, which means you need to learn it. Need to follow it. And then the next thing is that they keep the witness. They keep the testimonies. Four. He says here, it says, blessed are they who keep his testimony, and that what? Seek him with the whole heart. Okay? What does this mean? It means that they seek deity in prayer and worship. When you go down to what this word actually means in the Hebrew, that's what it means. They seek deity in prayer and worship. It's the same word that's used in Amos 5:4. In Amos 5:4 says, for thus saith the Lord unto the house of Israel, seek ye me, and ye shall what?
Live.
Okay? You can't live unless you're sound. You can't show life unless you're making steady progress. You can't live for God unless you have His testimonies. And then it's a whole heart issue. Psalm 111, verse 1. It says, praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my what? Whole heart. We say Lord. He means He's Lord of everything. You are what? Not your own. Glorify God in your body, which is God's. The ox is submissive to the owner. God owns us. Folks, we need some humility and submission to God. That's how we're going to be sound. That's how we're going to walk forward. That's how we're going to have a witness. That's how we're going to do what He wants us. And oh, by the way, what did Christ say in Matthew 6:33? But seek ye first. Seek ye first the what? The kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all these things be added unto you. You know, we get it backwards. We seek those things to be added unto us, and then we say, if we get that, then we'll seek God. We're not like Jacob, folks. We're not like Jacob. Put God first, and then He'll take care of this. Praise ye the Lord. I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the assembly of the what? Upright. You can't be walking forward, be a witness for God, being in places where you shouldn't be, around people that you shouldn't be. Now, we work in a world that's sinful. But the point is this. Who are your closest relationships with? Because you're known by the friends that you keep. You're known by the friends that you keep. So we need to keep. And what does it say here? I will praise the Lord with my whole heart in the what? In the assembly of the who? The upright. Evil communications corrupt good manners. And in the congregation. Folks, we are coming to a time where we are going to have more fellowship in the congregation than ever before in order to get through what's happening. Okay? We either all stand together or we fall apart piecemeal, and we just can't do that. So it says here that we're going to seek God with their whole heart. Go on down here in verse 3, it says, they also do no iniquity. Okay? Basically, doing nothing means that you're on the other side. This iniquity means to be viciously unjust or have vicious injustice. So the real meaning here is that they are just. They are just. What is just? Well, Christ said this, John chapter 7, verse 24, judge not according to the appearance, but judge righteous judgment. The judgment got off there, okay? Okay, but judge righteous judgment. So, they are what? undefiled. They walk in the law of the Lord. They keep His testimonies. They seek Him with their whole heart. They do no iniquity. They're just. And the last one is, they walk in His ways. Okay? And it says they walk in His ways. What does that mean? It means that God leads us. In our study in Isaiah, verse 30, verse 21, we talked about this. It says, "And thine eye shall hear a word behind thee, saying, This is the way. Walk ye in it, when ye turn to the right hand, and when ye turn to the left." Now, do we hear an audible voice of God? You could. He could do that, okay? But my Bible tells me in Galatians, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And then you'll have the fruit of the Spirit. And you'll have all these things, okay? And so we need to walk in His ways, listening to God. Listening to God. Here's the neat thing about it is, this verse, God's got your back. Look at the verse. "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee." Okay? See, we need to understand that God's got our back. And so we can walk in His ways. He'll direct our paths. You know, how many don't like backseat drivers? Okay? That's a bad thing, okay? But when God's the backseat, you better listen. Amen? Amen. So, we see here the consideration of the blameless. They are what? Blessed or happy. We see the characteristics of the blameless. They are undefiled. They walk in the law of the Lord. They keep His testimonies. They seek Him with their whole heart. They do no iniquity. They walk in His ways. Now, if you're blameless like that, the blameless become blessed in His ways. Okay? In verse 4, we see the command. It says, "Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently." Now, the command, first of all, is unconditional. God doesn't say, "I want you on Monday." This is a week. So on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, you're going to be diligent for Me. And next week is going to be B week. So it's Tuesday and Thursday. He doesn't do that. Okay? He wants us to seek Him diligently every day. It's unconditional. Okay? Jesus is ministering. There's a crowd coming. A man that had, he was deaf and dumb. He's there. And Christ said this. In Mark chapter 9, verse 25, it says, "When Jesus saw that the people came running together, He rebuked the foul spirit, saying unto him, Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and what? Enter no more into him." See, "Thou hast commanded us to keep Thy precepts diligently." When God healed people or cast out demons, He said, "Go and sin no more." How can you not do that unless you know God's Word? Too many of us, I think, well, I'll base my faith on what I hear or what someone else tells me. No, you need to base your faith on what you read. Every one of us is supposed to study to show yourself approved of God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Every one of us needs to do that. We have too much of this going on where it's easier to go ask somebody than to go find the answer yourself in the instruction manual, the Bible. Okay? The command is what? Thou hast commanded us. Okay? Who's talking here? God. Okay? You commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. Now, this old bunch of stuff about we're under grace, and that's true, it still means that God's law needs to be followed. Okay? If we love God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength, love our neighbor as ourself, we'll fulfill the law. If we walk in the Spirit, we won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We get the fruit of the Spirit, against such there is what? No law. There is now, therefore, now no condemnation to them who walk after the Spirit, not after the flesh. So the issue is, we've got to keep His commandments, His precepts, diligently. It's unconditional. You can't pick and choose. There's too many churches picking and choosing what they want to do. And they're allowing sin to come into the church. They're allowing lies to come into the church because it feels good. No. Don't fall for that. Base your life against the Word of God. That's absolute truth. Oh, by the way, His precepts, they're unchanging. They're unchanging. He says, I change not. Sin is still sin. Okay? Righteousness is still righteousness. God is still God. All those truths that God put in place are still there. And they are unchanging. All God's Word, God still doesn't want us to do those things. Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's it say? God forbid. God forbid. So, the command, it's unconditional. It's unchanging. And then it's untiring on our part. How are we supposed to do this? We're supposed to keep thy precepts, how? Diligently. There are no cliff notes to the Bible. Okay? You can't get a PowerPoint or outline of the thing and say, this is the Bible. Okay? You got to look at God's Word. And you got to put an effort into it. Okay? Nothing in, nothing out. Okay? So we see here, the blameless become blessed in his ways. The command is to what? Thou hast commanded us to keep thy precepts diligently. And the rest of this chapter, the rest of this chapter talks about that. And we're going to see this a recurring theme through here. But in verse 5, we see a conflict. Okay? How many of us want to lose weight? Yeah, okay. And we find out, we say we're going to go on a diet, and what's going to happen? It lasts maybe a week, and then we get tired of it. Okay. We just don't have the what? The fortitude, the stick-to-itiveness of it, the whole thing, okay? The psalmist here is going to say the same thing here. There's a conflict in verse 5. He says, oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. So he sees God's command. And he says, I'm having an awful hard time doing this. Oh, that my ways. Okay. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. Where's the problem? It's not with God. It's with him. He's the one that's directing his ways. He says, this all is good. And a lot of us are saying, this is all really good, but there is no but. There are no buts here, okay? The issue is, it says, I want to do this. Christ, last night with the disciples, goes to the garden. And he says, watch. Why, go and what? Pray yonder. Now it was late. They were probably tired. They were full from the Last Supper. There's all sorts of excuses that they come up with why they were sleepy. But Christ goes up there and he prays. And he comes back and he finds the disciples what? Sleeping. Wakes them up. Says, watch while I go pray yonder. He goes up, comes back, finds them what? Sleeping. Goes back again. Comes back. And they're still asleep. And what does he say? Sleep on now. Sleep on now. You missed your opportunity. You missed your opportunity here. Okay? He says in Matthew chapter 26, verse 41, he says, watch and pray that ye enter not into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This is what the psalmist is saying here. Oh, that my ways were directed to keep thy statutes. He has an internal struggle in himself to do this. He knows what to do, but to find the ability, he can't. Folks, the ability to do what God wants you to do can't come from you. It's got to come from God. God gives us the gift of grace. Grace allows us to live a righteous life, live a joyous life, do all these things. God asks us to do something, and He gives us the resources necessary to do it. He gives us the Holy Spirit. We just need to be directed by it. So we see the command, we see the conflict, and then in verse 6, we see the consolation. He says, then shall I not be ashamed. You know, how many times when you were kids, your parents asked you to do something, and you say, yeah, Mom! And you start at it, and then you start watching VeggieTales, or the Flintstones, or MeTV, or whatever the case may be, you get distracted. And then come back and said, did you do it? I'm working on it! And he goes on and does the exact same thing. Isn't that how we are with God sometimes? See, we need to be diligent. And the psalmist is just like us. For me to will to do it, I want to do it, but to find the strength, I can't. That's what Paul says in Romans 7. And then he says what? He says, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? But he says, I thank God through His Son, Christ Jesus. That, folks, that's what we have to do. The conflict is to allow our spirit to be led by His Spirit. John said, He must increase, I must decrease. I must decrease. The consolation here is this is, then shall I not be ashamed when I have what? Respect to unto what? All thy commandments. That's what's wrong today, folks. We don't have respect to all the commandments. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, it says, beloved, if our heart condemns us not, then have we confidence towards God. Remember what we're supposed to do? Be undefiled, be sound in our ways. Have a sound heart, to be complete. Okay? So we see the blameless of God are blessed. That's the goal. The blameless become blessed in His ways. And then verses 7 and 8, we see the blameless resolve to obtain the blessing. Okay? In verses 7 and 8, we see a commitment. Okay? He says here, it says, I will praise thee with uprightness of what? Heart. Okay? We need to praise God from the heart. And the heart needs to be sound. And it needs to be complete. And it needs to be in tune with Him. When I have what? Learned thy righteous judgments. We need to pursue God with my heart. So we need to praise God from my heart. And when you praise Him, you want to pursue even more. And then I will keep thy statutes. I will profess God in my heart. See, that's the commitment that we have to make. Charles Spurgeon said this: we must learn to praise so that we may praise. Then praise when we have learned. Think about that for a second. We must learn to praise so that we may what? Praise. And then praise when we have learned. It's a growing process. You start praising God, you want to learn more about Him. When you learn more about Him, you'll praise Him even more. When you praise Him even more, you'll learn more about Him. And you'll praise Him even more. And then all of a sudden, you're now rejoicing evermore, praying without ceasing, doing all the things that the psalmist wants to do. There's a cry. The last part of this verse 8 says, oh, forsake me not utterly. God, don't give up on me. Maybe that's our cry tonight, for God not to give up on us. He's not. His grace is sufficient. His mercy is abundant. His power is everlasting and all-powerful. And He's not going to give up. In Psalm 40, verse 11, it says, withhold not thy tender mercies from me, O God, O Lord. Let thy loving kindness and thy truth continually preserve me. So tonight, you want God's blessing? Then look at what happens in Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the word of Christ, well, that's the Bible, folks. The Bible was inspired by God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in what? All wisdom. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Oh, are we obedient to God? Are we experiencing the blessings of obedience tonight? Only you know that. Are you sound inside? Are you walking in the way of the Lord? Are you keeping His witness? Are you seeking Him with your whole heart? Are you being just? Are you walking in His way? It's down here, folks. If this part is right, everything else will be right. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this time, Lord. I just ask You with this time of invitation. Father, just search our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to be obedient to You, Lord, and to be blessed. We thank You and we ask that You give Your Holy Spirit have full reign here tonight. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.